Hello, I'm Marcia Gustafson with the Vermont Department of Health, and with me is Gail Center, who will make a presentation after the flood, private well disinfection and testing.
Good afternoon. In April and May of this year, Vermont experienced extraordinary rainfall that resulted in the flooding of both Lake Champlain and many riverside communities. As a result, residential wells in impacted areas were compromised, their water quality suspect. Next slide. The reports of the range of impacted wells coming into the health department included wells that were completely submerged, wells that were visible but within a pooled backyard, or wells for which the taste and or odor have changed. Any of these scenarios, even without a bacterial test, are assumed to be compromised. Next slide. Your immediate advice as a town health officer would be to be safe versus sorry and tell your townspeople to refrain from using this water for drinking, toothbrushing, produce washing, preparation of food or juice or baby formula, or preparation of ice cubes. The advice should include to switch over to either bottled water or water from a known safe source, and if that's not available, heat water to a rolling boil. Once rolling, 1 minute will inactivate microorganisms. And when we do say known safe source, what we mean by that is from a publicly tested supply or, for example, water from your workplace, a friend or family known to be safe. Next slide. The most common question after the flood is, when can I use my tap water again? And we think that 5 steps need to be achieved before that's possible. And the first step is when the water has receded. Number 2, after the well has been disinfected. Number 3, after the bleach has worn completely off. Number 4, after the well has been tested at a laboratory. And number 5, results from the lab show no presence of bacteria. And I want you to be aware that if the electrical components are iffy, they also must be dried out. We have had reports of pump control boxes being submerged, etc. If those are the situations, a qualified electrician or well contractor should check out the system before this disinfection process. It is possible that silter sand can damage pump components and the pump needs refurbishing. Next slide. So before one can shock chlorinate a well, they get their gear together, which includes household bleach, no perfumes or additives, some gloves for your own safety, and glasses, and a clean bucket to if you want to dilute the bleach before adding it to the well. Next slide. And this slide involves the procedure of disinfecting a well, and this would include a drilled well or a dug well or spring. So first you need to get access. For a drilled well, typically that would be several bolts. You'll need to unbolt and remove the cap, checking for bugs or any sort of problems. For a dug well or a spring, you'll need to remove the cover. It's usually concrete. And then we can add the bleach. And the recipe we use is for a dug well, 1 gallon of household bleach. And this is the 5.25% bleach, not the industrial 12%. 1 gallon is sufficient for 10 feet for a dug well, and 1 gallon is also sufficient for 350 feet of a drilled well with a 6-inch casing. So once the bleach is added, you put the cover back on, unless you're going to use a hose to recirculate it. And you go back to your home and go about your business, and sooner or later, that chlorinated water will be pumped up through the drop pipe, fill the pipe between the well and the home, and fill your entire plumbing system back at your home. So you won't smell it initially, but sooner or later, you will smell that very classic bleach smell. When that happens, you go tap to tap to tap just to allow the chlorine water to fill the entire system. You can continue to use the Johns and use the water for sanitation, but you want to keep that chlorine soaking in the system for a good 12 hours. The next morning or after 12 hours, we can begin to discharge the chlorinated water. And very typically, a homeowner will hook up a hose and start to discharge the strong chlorinated water through that hose. It is our suggestion that if you do use the hose, that it not be just left on. We don't want people to dewater their wells. Next slide. And there's three special circumstances I'd like to touch on. If you can reach a hose to the well, people can hasten the recirculation by putting the hose back into the well itself, just so that when the chlorinated water comes out of the hose, you then have kind of proof that the chlorine has reached the pump and the pump is pumping up chlorinated water. If the homeowner has water treatment, strong chlorine can do damage to the water treatment. For example, a softener would need to be bypassed. If there's a charcoal filter, you could remove that and put in a new one after this procedure, etc. But chlorine can damage the resin, so you don't want to be running the strong chlorine through those treatment devices. And lastly, again, the dewatering of the well. In the discharge of the water, chlorinated water, after the procedure is complete, please do not just leave the water running. If the well water exits the hose faster than the well can regenerate itself, you'll dewater the well and the pump will suck up silt and sand and you'll be back to square one. Please don't allow the chlorinated water to reach a brook. Please keep children and pets away from this discharge. A gravel area or a brushy area is an appropriate discharge place. Next slide. This is the same recipe for a well with a 30-gallon a minute or a well with a 1-gallon a minute. So there will be a certain amount of time before you don't smell the chlorine anymore, and that will vary. And I have noted here that 3 to 5 days is an average for folks to no longer smell the chlorine. It's then time to test. Now, for you health officers, you can acquire a test kit free if you are assisting with flood response by calling the laboratory 800 number, and that is 1-800-660-9997, and you identify yourself as a town health officer assisting with the flood response, and you can be mailed some complimentary test kits for your townspeople who are trying to get back to clean water at their home. Once the test has been taken, you should wait for the results before using this tap for drinking or the water system in general for drinking. If you prefer, you can pick up a test kit at your district office who has a supply for flood response as well. There's only two results that are coming to come back from the test kit, either presence or absence, and what we're looking for, of course, is absence of bacterial presence. Next slide. This slide has to do with the results of the bacterial testing, either absence or presence, and if you are looking at the slides, you'll see that the absence slide has somebody already using the water for cooking and food preparation. Whereas if the test comes back with presence of coliform bacteria, yeah, you're not out of the weeds yet and you need to do additional steps. And just a note, depending on how you get your kit, there might be some communication that's needed. For example, if you do get a kit at the district office, somebody else's name will be on it, so you'll need to organize as to how the information is going to be shared via copying the results, etc., so that everybody is aware of the results. Next slide. If the results are positive, the health department's protocol is to reshock. So there's sometimes two shocks are necessary, and perhaps even three. After three shocks, it's fairly obvious that the source of contamination is continuing to enter the well, and the well owner is asked to consider installation of water treatment as a long-term solution. And this would be when the source of contamination cannot be remediated. There are other possibilities as to how to fix, if you will, the well by reinstalling a casing and things of that nature, or long-term installation of water treatment. And the slide shows sort of a graphic of an ultraviolet light. And this treatment is known at the correct wavelength to inactivate both bacteria and viruses, and are made now for private homeowners in terms of size. They're not just industrial anymore. Due to the extensive flooding, it may be necessary to take long-range precautions, including repeated testing to protect the safety of drinking water. Next slide. And this is the goal, and the goal for all of us is to get the water to a point where we can use it straight from the tap. And we are here to help you get to that point. And on this slide will be the laboratory's 800 number, which I'll repeat again, which is 1-800-660-9997. Now, if any of you need technical assistance, you can also call toll-free to our office in downtown Burlington, and that is 1-800-439-8550. And the computer menu comes on, and you press 5 for drinking water. And that will ring at my desk. If you want to call directly, please feel free. 863-7233 rings right at my desk. And we hope that you all will use our services. If the well owner has any concerns whatsoever about petroleum being in the same area as the well and or pesticides, these would include additional sampling. I can help you in terms of what test kits the well owner would need to run to make sure that there weren't any petroleum and or pesticides present in their well water. This presentation is strictly for inactivation of microorganisms. And thank you for listening, and we'll take any questions.
Are there any questions?
How about chlorine pellets?
You can do pellets. They will come with however many ounces per gallons of water, and you'll have to do that calculation yourself because they come in different strengths. But you can use pellets. And I guess I should add, in some cases where people have overflowing springs, they do use pellets because the since it's overflowing, they get at least a chance of disinfection versus liquid chlorine bleach that's just spit right back out.
Can you explain the difference between the E. coli result and the coliform result on the water testing result document?
Sure. The total coliform family is the overall family of bacteria into which the fecal organisms fall, but it is a much larger family. It would include also a great deal of soil bacteria. So the one thing important to know about coliform bacteria is they do not naturally live in wells. So if you find this family of bacteria in a well, it doesn't mean that you'll be ill, but it means something has gotten in from the surface of the earth, classically runoff. A small subset of that entire family is the fecal coliform, and even more specifically the E. coli, which would indicate that it has been in the gut of, in the intestinal tract of either a warm-blooded animal or us as humans. So it could be a barnyard source, it could be a septic source. We can't tell the difference. It's the exact same bacteria.
So neither should be in water samples.
Correct.
And both could potentially cause illness.
Correct. Certainly it's a bigger red flag, if you will, to have an E. coli come back positive, but special precautions should also be taken if it's a total coliform, because it basically means all guarantees are off, all bets are off that your water is safe. You could take a risk and drink it and not get ill. That's certainly possible, but we can't condone that as a guarantee.
Thank you.
Sure thing.
In terms of running the water through the after you've used the bleach and you were giving places where you might discharge it
yep.
safely. What if you don't have a hand? Is there any other option if you don't have a safe?
Some people don't have a hose bib at all,
yep.
so they can't do it. Some people do not have a safe place there in a crowded subdevelopment.
Uh-huh.
In that case, you basically do nothing. You go about your business, and it will go to either the sewer, if you are a sewered neighborhood, or it will go to your septic tank, which isn't the perfect situation, but the household waste will bring back the bacteria into your tank to decompose the household waste.
Okay.
So.
So then might you have to wait longer number of days for the...
Most likely, yes. It'll take longer. Because you'll only be using the johns and for sanitation, and of course the toilet tanks and everything will just fill right back up with chlorinated water, but you only added so much. Ultimately,
okay.
you'll discharge that to the tank and you won't smell it any longer.
Right. I mean, what about things like taking a shower? You're just taking a shower in the...
Oh, that's a good question. Showering will depend on the person and the well, and by that I mean some wells have a very slow recharge, and the the bleach will therefore be very, very strong, and the skin will probably not want to be in that shower. You would need to shower at a gym or at a friend's house during the course of this. In other situations, people can barely smell the bleach, and they have no trouble whatsoever using their own shower, so that will depend on the occupant. If it's too strong and it'll burn your eyes, you know, be safe. Get a shower elsewhere.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, forget that.
Any other questions?
Oh, I have one last note. If you do want to share directions with people, if you do go to our homepage, there is one of those contents A to Z links to click on, and you can just click on that, click on D for disinfection, and the directions pop right up, and you can print that out and give them out. If you'd like a fancier fact sheet, just give us a call, and we'll mail you as many as you need.
Thank you. That ends our session for today. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.